Psalm 42. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitudes. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my soul, O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and from the Hermonites, from the hill Miser. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto my God, unto God my rock, Why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Thus far, the reading of God's precious word to us this morning. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, children, young people, children, are you sometimes sad? Today we are going to think about sadness. Sadness, or another word, is depression. They are not something new in our fallen world. They are not something new. Perhaps you have never realized that Cain was the first depressed person in the Bible. When he murdered Abel, the Bible says that his face was fallen. Sin and guilt can make you very sad. Think of David in Psalm 32, when he had committed adultery with Bathsheba. But depression is not always directly related to sin. Think about that great prophet Elijah laying under his juniper tree. There was no specific sin that we can mention. Now, depression has been there. It's not something new from the very start. Even when you look through history, the Puritans called it melancholy. And they wrote sermons about it, and they wrote books about it. Did you know that that famous preacher, C.H. Spurgeon, struggled with it a lot? Or the one who wrote Amazing Grace, William Cooper, he struggled with depression a whole lot. Winston Churchill, you would say that's a tough man. He called it the black dog. So people fighting depression is nothing new. People being sad is nothing new. In a fallen world, we all desire to have a smile on our face, don't we? To be happy, to have a joyful heart. Because that's more important than just a smile, right? Because some people just put that smile there while deep down there's something going. I heard once a story of a lady who was visiting a touristic attraction. And she looked very sad, and she was all in trouble, and she was angry with her kids and all that. And she looked so miserable. But then she came to that touristic attraction, and she said, "Come, children, we're going to take a picture." And there was a smile on the picture, for the picture, with all the kids. And the whole world thought, nothing wrong. But deep down, if you would have watched that lady, there was something wrong. And maybe there's someone like that here this morning. A smile. But deep down, you're hurting. You feel depressed. You're sad. Even the nice things, perhaps, of life don't really satisfy you. You feel lonely or isolated. That's depression. Or we're going to be a little deeper, because there's more than that. There's more than that. There's this sadness which we call spiritual depression. Because what do? When God seems far away? What do we do when we are missing God? And that's where this psalm is all about this morning. This man that we meet in this psalm didn't have a smile on his face. There was a cry in his heart. He was spiritually depressed. Not clinical depression. I'm going to use that term for a moment. But what I mean with it is there some physical cause that makes us very sad, or some mental problem that makes us very, very sad? That's different. We're going to study this psalm together, and we are going to listen to its counsel. This counsel comes not only from this psalmist, but also from the great counselor, our Lord and God. As this psalmist struggled with deep sadness, may we receive help and support, especially those who among us who struggle, and those maybe who support others. May we also learn and listen from this psalm. So our theme this morning is sadness, and our subtitle is "When Your Soul Is Cast Down" or "Downcast." We look at the signs. What does it look like? The sources, what are the causes, really, of sadness? And then how does this psalm help us to gain support for sadness? Verses 5 and 11 of this psalm are our text, and they're almost identical. I read them. 5, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." In verse 11, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the health of my countenance and my God." Now, sadness is one of these emotions that God has given. And it can be a good thing to be sad, to feel sad when we feel distant from God. It's right for us to feel sad when you have a loved one in your family who has gone astray. It's a right thing to feel sad about that. It's a right thing to feel sad about our sin and our guilt before holy God. A good and gracious God, a forgiving God. If you've never, here this morning, never felt sad about your sin, then there's something terribly wrong with you. That means that you've never repented of your sin. I wish you this right kind of sadness this morning. I pray that you would see how sin completely ruins our relationship with this good and gracious God who sent his Son to die on the cross for sinners, who cares for us daily. But that's not the sadness that we see here in this psalm. In this psalm, we listen to a godly man who is sad and depressed, and he is spiritually depressed. Now, when is something just sadness and when is something real spiritual depression? Well, first of all, spiritual depression hinders you to really joy in God and find joy in spiritual matters. You find no comfort in the fact that Jesus Christ is the Savior from sin and that he speaks to you. You rather feel far away and you wonder if he is speaking at all. You've lost sight and you lost sight of him and you're not hearing his voice. There's like a broken radio antenna. A signal is not properly coming through. That's what happens to this man in this psalm. Look at him in verse 11. He's longing for the health of his countenance. Of his countenance. Which means he had a time that there was a smile on his face, that he was joyful. But now, verse 3, my tears have been my meat or my food day and night. So he is crying very often. Instead of eating, there is this crying. And next, he is downcast because our text says it. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? He is feeling very low. He's perhaps panicking. At times to the point of despair, unhappy, anxious. Maybe some of us recognize this. Maybe not really right now, but at other times. This man is emotionally disturbed, as we can hear in our text. Why art thou disquieted in me? There's no real stability. There's this unrest in his heart. It feels like there's a storm going on inside. Not able to lean against that storm. You feel tempest-tossed. In verse 7, he shows more about that experience. He takes a picture. He says, deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts, and thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. In other words, he's standing as like under a waterfall, not just for enjoyment. No, absolutely no. No, the picture is this. A waterfall continues to pour down upon him, overwhelming him, wave upon wave, billow upon billow of sadness, pain, and misery. So much so that he cries out in verse 9, why? Why hast thou forgotten me? He feels forsaken by God. He doesn't enjoy God's presence. He feels hopeless and sad and depressed. We should not forget that this psalmist was a godly person. It teaches us that believers can go through times like this. Some of the believers might actually suffer a lot of this. Some of the signs of someone who doesn't know God might be the same. You might go through similar things. But you've never really learned who God is. And there you miss your greatest source of encouragement. That you can have even in the darkest of times. If you don't know God personally, if you're not a believer, maybe you are sad, maybe you're not, maybe you're just enjoying life. If you're not alive through the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't wish you a depression, but I want you to have, I pray that you would have the right kind of sadness. And I ask you this morning, why is your soul not cast down? For what do you have to live for, really, in this world? To eat and to drink and to be happy, for tomorrow you will die. You might fill it, young people, you might fill it with all kinds of toys, with pleasures and enjoyments, but that's it. That's all you have. It's all you will ever have. And that's how empty life really is without God. What hope do you have for life after death? It's appointed for man once to die, and then what? After that judgment. What are you going to say when you are before God? I ate, I drank, I enjoyed life, I tried to be good, I went to church, I did some devotions once in a while. Is that all you have? Judgment is awaiting. Why is your soul not cast down? Why don't you repent and say, Lord, I need thee? Your hope needs to be in Christ Jesus, the only one who can save you. His righteousness. He is the one who can save you. Jesus Christ is the man of sorrows who is acquainted with grief. We've thought about that during Passion season. How deeply he suffered. He suffered to rescue us from our self-centeredness, from our misery, from our hell-worthiness. And he comes to take away the doom and the gloom that we deserve in hell. He went through doom. He went through gloom to save sinners like you and me. And when he was suffering for sin, he was wrestling with death, with darkness, with hell itself. And what did he say? My soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death. That's the Savior. Sadness. What a Savior. How deeply he suffered. You see, the psalmist in verse 7 speaks about this waterfall beating over him. Oh, thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Who but Christ knows the depth of that statement there? Of what it means to be truly, deeply overwhelmed. Who can fathom the depth of his sadness? Hebrews tells that when he was praying and supplicating, he did so with strong cryings and strong tears. And even when he saw suffering coming and he knew what was going to happen, he said, now is my soul troubled. Sadness. The Savior. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. To pay the ransom. That's why. That's why he went through sadness, through suffering. Because some who are here perhaps and dancing the way to hell, just happy, not concerned about your soul, need to be saved this morning. That's why he went through suffering. To pull you out of your desperate sins. Now, some of us need to be saved from our self-righteousness. I can do it on my own. Whatever case, he went through suffering. And that's the only suffering and sadness that can save us. And when you're saved, praise the Lord. Look at your Savior and his sadness. And don't think that we then never have sadness anymore. That we don't go through times of sorrows. Sometimes the Lord chooses to give us a little taste of it in our lives so that we would appreciate, child of God, more of what he went through on your and my behalf. So that we would look to him and say, he was forsaken. He bore the curse. He died. So is there someone who feels depressed this morning, who feels downcast? Look at this Savior. God himself was willing to send him through these deep trials, deep sadness, desperate emotions to save sinners like you and me. Christ was made very sad because he suffered to take away sin. And yes, sin can be a reason for depression or sadness. Cain, David, we mentioned. But the psalmist, what was the reason of this psalmist's depression or sadness? It was not necessarily something sinful. Let's consider that secondly. Well, the first thing that we see here in this psalm, the first cause, you can say, was that this man was found himself far away from the temple and from the service of God and the worship of God. And he desires to be close to God. And yet he feels far away. You see in verse 1 that beautiful picture. Maybe he was there in the northern part of Israel. And he saw there in the forest one of those animals, one of those deers running and then suddenly stopping at water, panting for water after a run. Maybe it had been pursued or... And he sees that and he says, he sees that deer panting, yearning for refreshing waters. And he says, that's how my soul yearns for God, for the living God, because I know he lives. You see, that's why it's a godly man. I know he lives. So he questions and wonders in verse 2, when shall I come and appear before God in worship, that is? And in verse 4, he remembers how he used to go with joy and praise, drawing close to God, how he used to be close to God. Now, only a soul that really has tasted something of the goodness and grace of God knows what this is, yearning for refreshing grace, closeness with God. Do you perhaps feel far away from God at moments? But deep down, this yearning to be close to God, you can call that spiritual depression, not clinical, because clinical is different. It's something in the body or the mind that needs treatment. Some pills or therapy sometimes can help. But here is someone who is sad about being far away from God. That cannot be solved with pills and treatments and therapies. God must come. The presence of God is what this person needs. Isn't that what every person needs? This man was longing for God's countenance. Verse 5. That means his favor, his smile. In the presence of God, there is life for him. What about you? Is there, in the presence of God, is there life? Is there a smile? Is there joy? And when you don't experience that, it makes you sad, like this man. And depressed. Do you know something about that too? When you feel far away from God, we feel downcast, disquieted. There's no peace. That's because God has worked in you that yearning, that life that thirsts after God. Otherwise, there would be no longing whatsoever. So spiritual isolation there was, first. Second, physical isolation is not the source of sadness. Look at verse 6. For some reason, this man is then in the northern parts of Israel. He mentions the land of Jordan, the Hermonites, the hill of Mizar. Was he in exile? Was he a free man? Was he just traveling? Was he maybe there because of war? We don't know. Psalm doesn't tell. But for some reason, he used to be close to the house of Jerusalem, and now he was far away, far from the presence, in this north country. And that's why some interpreters have said, well, this was probably a Levitical singer who used to be part of the temple choir, worshiping God with joy. Whichever case, clearly this man's heart is with the worship of the Lord. Is yours? How about you and me? When we are far away, when we can go to church, do we long for it? Do we miss it? Does it make us sad when there's no opportunity to do that anymore? Maybe some are listening in and are on their own, old. Does it make you sad that you can't come in the presence of the Lord with His people to rejoice? Because you have to stay home for whatever reason. This man was spiritually feeling far from God, physically as well. And then thirdly, he was socially isolated. There was social isolation here. Verse 3, we see that the unbelievers are around him, just like they once were around the Savior, taunting him continually. They say continually unto me, verse 3, where is thy God? Verse 10, same thing. They say daily unto me, where is thy God? So there were those people who wanted to make the life of this person miserable. And they're asking a question, where's your God? And this felt like a sword stuck into his bones. That's what he says at the end of the psalm. His enemy is reproaching him. And that's how it can feel sometimes when you're sad and depressed. Besides feeling far away, hindering to draw close to God, there can be this taunting question or another question. Where's your God? Is God true? Can you trust Him? What do you do? Does your heart cry with the psalmist? There is this other possibility that Satan is there, right, to accuse you about all kinds of things. He is the greatest accuser. He can throw these questions into your mind sometimes. But worse, sometimes we are our worst enemy. We have this question in our minds. We doubt everything the Lord has ever done because of this or that in our minds. Sometimes we are our worst enemy, talking all kinds of things to ourselves to bring ourselves down. We need to look to the Lord. Otherwise, we are like a bird in a closed room. Children, what does a bird do? He's not going to sit restfully if it's not a tame bird. It's going to flutter, bumping into walls, hurting itself, rather than resting. How do we rest? We rest on the Word of God, on the promises of God. Some thoughts that we have are not helpful to lead us to Him, but are hurtful. And some thoughts can drag us down and ask ourselves over and over and over, is it true? Is it true? Is it true? Where is God? Those thoughts that sow doubt. Is it true? Is it true? No, God is true. Look there. His promises are true. If we repeat that to ourselves, we can become victims of our thought life. And that's why the Bible also tells us that we are to be renewed in the renewing of our minds when we are saved. Our minds, our thought life needs to be changed so that we learn to think in a way that pleases God. Now, how do we think that way? Well, Philippians 4, what do we think about the good things, the pleasing things? The beautiful things in God's Word, about God, comforting words from the Scriptures. And if we find that difficult, we need good friends who can remind us of these things and speak the truth in love and even sometimes come and criticize our thoughts and say, hey, what are you thinking? Who is God? Think about God. Think about the Lord Jesus Christ. We sometimes need these friendships to encourage us, to point us to the one and only source. But far better it would be if we learn to correct our thoughts ourselves. About that later. So in this psalm, there are multiple reasons of sadness. There's the different circumstances that go about every person's sadness. Circumstances, characters. We can feel forsaken by God. Circumstances can be out of favorable, and we can feel miserable about those. Or when we feel we have nobody to talk to, and we are only with our own thoughts, dragging ourselves down deeper. For some people, that is something that this sadness is there because it's our temperament. It might run in our family. It might be something genetic. For others, it might be something related to certain health issues. Certain health issues increase this. There's overlap with what spiritual depression is. It can be both, something both. But spiritual depression is always when there is this longing for God. And when you are attacked by Satan, or like Elijah, you're just depressed because you're threatened, accused by others, perhaps, or by your own thoughts, or by Satan. Or we're fostering some kind of unbelief in our lives. It can be because of sin. We're doubting that God is true and that God is the living God, that He keeps His promises. We look at our lives and we question His providential leadings with us. Why? That can cast you into a depression, a sadness. We live in a broken world. And then unbelievers as well as believers, we endure those consequences of this broken world. And life is hard at times. Life is hard. Especially when you don't have hope. When you have not learned by the power of the Spirit to look outside of yourself and see there is forgiveness, there is grace. There is a gracious and loving and forgiving God. Life is especially hard when you're trying to rebel against God and against His leadings. You know the difference between a believer. Sometimes the believer also rebels, sometimes, but then comes to confession. But an unbeliever will not wait or long or yearn for God in those times of sadness. They will not know how to say, okay, what is happening here? How does God fit in this? How does God know what is best for me? How can I submit to Him? You might actually start blaming God and your circumstances, or you're probably maybe working very hard to eliminate everything that's happening to you that makes you sad. Or worse, perhaps, you blame God for your depression. You see, okay, yeah, it's another good reason to distrust this God. But a believer has the comfort, doesn't always see the comfort, but deep down, you know it comes from God. It comes from God. I don't have it, but it comes from God. However faint that hope is, and at times it might actually be non-existent. But there is, deep down, a looking back and saying, I knew what it means to have God close to me. Might not feel like it, but there is a power in the believer. The indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. God is with us. And He can help. And He can remind us to look to Him who suffered, who can sympathize with you in your sadness, in your suffering. Have you ever wondered what made the Savior so sad? Why was He called the Man of Sorrows? Was it not because at the cross His Father's face, His smile, He had been basking in from eternity, was now suddenly eclipsed? It was dark. My God, why hast Thou forsaken me? He endured this spiritual isolation, the deepest the world has ever known and seen, darkness, gloom, hell. At that cross, He was also socially isolated, wasn't He? The taunts of the people. He trusted in God. Let Him deliver Him now if He will have Him. How this echoes the psalmist. They say to me daily, where is now your God? What is the reason that our blessed Savior had to be so sad? Everyone who has tasted something of this knows how deeply upsetting this is. This is the only Savior there is to save sinners like you and me. And we all need Him, desperately need Him. Is He yours? Look to Him. This Savior was genuinely sad. You know why as well? When He came with His loving invitations, with His good deeds, walking through Jerusalem over and over and over, and then seeing they rejected Him. What did He say? He was weeping when He said, "Oh Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and ye would not." That made Him sad. Is that you this morning? That makes Him genuinely sad. Without sinning, He could have been very angry. And the Bible tells us indeed, and it's a mystery to us how that exactly works in God, but that God is angry with the wicked all day, and yet He desires the wicked to turn to Him and to repent. His blessed Savior was sad when He offered love and people said, "No, thank you." Are you persisting in unrepentance, in not wanting to be sad and seeking your joy outside of Jesus Christ, outside in the world, rejecting His offer of love? Look to the Savior in sadness. He wept. He had tears of sadness. Well, that His tears would awake you to this morning, to the reality that He is so good and so gracious. And willing that sinners come to repentance. One look to the Savior. One look to His cross. One look to His blood. One drip is enough to forever cleanse you and to break the hardest of hearts here this morning. Oh, that He would give you the blessed gift of sadness, true repentance. We've said it before. This was not This psalm was not written because there was any particular sin. There was a godly man here, depressed and sad. How do we deal with that? How does he deal with that? What can we learn from that? Are there any solutions? Is there any support? Certainly there is. We are going to look at that after we sing Psalter 154, all stanzas. Now there's some very practical ways in which the psalmist is dealing with his sadness. First thing that we see here is that he deals very honestly with what he's feeling. Look at our text. He doesn't hide the way he's feeling. He just plain says that he's feeling downcast and that he's disquieted. Now that's one thing we can do when we are sad. Naming our feelings can help us a little bit already. But be aware, to be aware what is going on inside. I actually am very sad, or I am very anxious, or I am very depressed. I'm feeling, you fill in the blank. But that's not all you can do. It's not kind of a pull up on your bootstrap salvation. No, this is a godly man. And some of the normal things that we can do can truly help us. But there's not where it stops. We are to remind ourselves of certain things. Remind us of the truth. Verse 4 says, when I remember these things, he looks back to the past, where he was, the good things that he enjoyed in the worship of God, and he says, that's different. And actually, that doesn't help him very much when he looks back and sees all those good things. Yes, to a certain extent, it helps him because he knows there was something better. But it says here in verse 4 that I pour out my soul in me. That means I'm sadder than before because that's what I used to have. And now look at verse 6. There he reminds himself of something else. Oh God, my soul is cast down within me. In other words, yes, I'm very depressed. But then, therefore, because that's the case, now I do this. I will remember who? Not the past. God. I will remember thee. The living God. The one he calls also somewhere his rock. I remember the Lord. If remember the past doesn't help you, remember who God is. The situation was still the same. He was still overwhelmed. He still seemed far away. And yet he reminds himself of God. And that's what you and I should do too. Remind ourselves of God who can help. The Almighty God. The All-Wise Counselor. The Sympathetic High Priest. Jesus Christ. But he does more than reminding himself. He speaks to himself. Look at verse 5 and 11 again. They are almost identical. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Yes, I feel like this. I feel cast down. I feel disquieted. That's how I feel. But I'm not going to accept that. I'm not going to sit passively by, fighting for joy. Here is a Christian fighting for joy. It's never a passive thing. He actively fights his drooping feelings. And he asks himself a question. Why? Why, oh my soul? What's the reason? Why are you so sad? As if there's no God in heaven. Why? Martin Lloyd-Jones, he wrote a beautiful book, Spiritual Depression. You might want to look into that or read a few chapters here or there if you struggle with this. He would put it like this, and I can't put it like him. He said it like this. Have you realized that most of your unhappiness in life is due to the fact that you're listening to yourself instead of talking to yourself? Take those thoughts that come to you the moment you wake up in the morning. You have not originated them, but they are talking to you. They bring back the problems of yesterday. Somebody is talking. Who is talking to you? Yourself is talking to you. Now, this man's treatment in Psalm 42 was this. Instead of allowing self to talk to him, he starts talking to himself. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" he asks. His soul had been depressing him, crushing him. So he stands up and said, "Self, listen for a moment. I will speak to you." That's what we need to do. Now, what does he say to his soul? Because we can say all kinds of nonsense to our soul, but we need the Word of God. He doesn't talk himself deeper into depression. No, he stirs himself up. He says, "Hope thou in God." Do you see how personal? You, my soul, you hope in God. And hope can be translated, wait for God, expect him. He will come. I don't feel close now, but that's, and he was in the past, but he will come. My soul, you wait for him. Don't give up. He will come. Isn't that beautiful? If we would learn to speak like that to ourselves and preach the gospel to ourselves like that, it will increase our joy. We need to talk to ourselves. But look what else he does. He says this, "Hope thou in God, for yet I shall yet praise him." So he looks to God and he looks to the future and says, I'm going to wait for the Lord in the future. He will come. So he clings to the promises. He clings to who God is. Despite of everything that's going on right now, despite how depressed I feel, despite all that, I trust in him that he will come, that he will come again. And one day I will praise him. I will praise him. And look how his trust, this trust increases in verse 8. "Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness," his loyal loving kindness, his love, his covenant love, his faithfulness. That's what he clings to. God is faithful. His loving kindness in the daytime and in his songs shall be even in the night. His song shall be with me. Maybe Paul and Barnabas, don't you think? We're reading this psalm. "My song shall be in the nighttime." When they were locked up in that dark dungeon. Well, if you are locked up in that dark dungeon of depression, remember this sentence: "In the nighttime, my song shall be, his song shall be with me. I will sing one day." Is it not here? Then it's it forever. I will pray. I will hope. I will talk to myself and I will talk to my God. That's what verse 6 does. Oh my God. He embraces his God. And how we need that. He embraces his God. My soul is cast down within. So there he comes with his situation again. Lord, this is my situation. You speak to yourself, yes, you speak firmly to yourself, but never forget to speak to the Lord about everything. Never forget to pray. And when you feel you can pray, turn to this psalm and put your finger there and read the words and repeat them to the Lord. And look, maybe with a tear in your eye and a cry in your heart, and say, "Lord, here it is, in thy word." So, dear depressed one, if you're struggling with this, follow this. Talk to yourself, talk to God, remember his promises. Look to his promises. "I will yet praise him." In times of sadness, when you yearn for God, cling to God, remind yourself of him, speak to yourself of him and about him, and speak to God. And battle in your soul for joy in God. satisfaction in God. That doesn't mean that it's going, that is disappearing right away. This psalm shows, verse 5, verse 11, and then the next psalm, verse 5 again. Same text. Oh, my soul, why art thou disquiet? That means this is ebbing and flowing often. Ebbing and flowing. But in the meantime, when you read also through 43, you should do that sometime. You see that he's gaining confidence in the Lord. There's one difference in our verse 5 and 11. What is it? He says that God will praise God for the help of his, God's countenance. Right? God needs to help. He needs to come. He needs to save. And verse 11 says, God is the health or the help of my countenance. God, my God, who is. You see? He is. He knows. Deep down inside. And then he says, he's my God. He is my God. He looks to him by faith. And he knows he's the one. He's the one who can make me joyful. Smile again. And so these are some directions. There's more to say. There's more to say. If you keep struggling, why don't you reach out to either one of us pastors or to one of your elders? We would love to help you. But read the psalm too. You see that he's gaining confidence. And where do you see it especially? In Psalm 43. He comes at a certain moment. He says, yes, God will send his light and his truth. And then he embraces God as God, the God of my exceeding joy. You see? Down, little up, little down, and a little up again. And he gains clarity. He gains clarity. And he says it then with more certainty. Yea, I will praise thee, O God, my God. And that's what the Holy Spirit also helps him to do. So every child of God, when you learn to do this, to name your emotions, question your emotions, and ask why, learn to talk firmly, biblically to yourself. Remind ourselves of God's loving kindness, of the gospel of grace, of a suffering Savior, a sad Savior. When we learn to talk to the Lord about our struggles, I pray that you may feel ever closer to the Lord and that he makes you smile again if you have been struggling with this for a long time, and that he is indeed the health of your countenance, so that we can see it. He has helped me. He's the health of my countenance. He did it. Amen.